everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 7, episode 5, and we are recording on Groundhog Day. Is it Groundhogs or Groundhog Day? It's Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day.
It's still just once a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is Groundhog, but there's several groundhogs. If you, of course, this episode comes out on Saturday, and it's well past Groundhog Day, but we'll pretend for a moment that this is the movie Groundhog Day, and you wake up, and it's the same show. So today is Groundhog Day for all intents and purposes, but there are several groundhogs, and apparently that none of them can agree on the weather. So my belief in varmints being able to predict long-term weather trends.
That keeping wildlife, an amphibious rodent for, domestic within the city, that ain't legal either.
They're not good at it. That ain't legal.
Or they just drop dead.
Yeah, the one in New Jersey died. Yeah. The one in New Jersey died. Birmingham Bill, he wouldn't come out because he's a jerk off. We have Bo in Georgia now. It used to be Beauregard, but they got rid of the Southern. You got to get rid of Beauregard because it makes people think of the fact that the South used to be the South.
Yeah.
And Georgia used to be a part of that, the South. So now he's Bo. That's universal. There's Punxsutawney Phil. He's down here in Western Pennsylvania, and he's probably a big Steelers fan, and he likes Ben Roethlisberger, and he's upset that he retired, but he came out and saw Sysmore. He's the winner, But that's just the way it is, We're going to go down to Eaton Park and get something to eat after this festival thing here, and then we're going to go back into the hole. And that's that. So,
A year in the hole.
We're going to have a couple of beers and a couple of INC lights. You're going to have a couple of IC lights and toast, the New Jersey one, Millville Mill or whatever his name was, because he's dead. So anyway, Ghost Dollars. So Groundhog Day, great movie, but a really stupid way of trying to predict the weather. It's always that, January has two holidays that matter to people. So February has Groundhog Day. What's next after that? Is it President's Day?
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day. April Fool's Day. Oh, yeah. Mother's Day is not till May. Yeah. April. I don't know. Easter. I guess that's an important holiday. Easter for some people. Passover. Anyway, that's our litany of holidays. Hey, we have a guest on the show today. His name is Jeff Richards. He's a comedian. He's a stand-up performer. He's an improv performer. He is a podcast host. And most importantly, he does impersonations and impressions. And he has a YouTube channel where you can watch him do the impressions where he interviews his celebrity friends and guests as, Jimmy Fallon, Dustin Hoffman, David Letterman. And they put an affect on it. They do special effects. The deep fake, so he looks like the person he's doing the impression of.
And he was a cast member on Mad TV and Saturday Night Live.
That's right. The first person to be on both shows is a cast member. He first did Mad TV, and then he left and went to SNL. And we had a good time chatting with him, and he'll be on in a little bit. Hey, everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. It's season 7, episode 5. This is Groundhog Day. That's where we were. Oh, shit.
I got you, babe.
All right, that's the only time we're going to do this.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
Look. I took this job originally because I figured Carlson was like me. Guy who doesn't quite know what's going on around him. He likes it that way.
We lost a big person in our histories here. We lost a great one. We lost a person who was probably directly responsible for a lot of people getting into the radio industry and certainly influential in that regard. Here I'm one of them. But we lost the late, great Howard Hessman, who passed away at the age of 81 last week. And 81 years old, he was having surgery, I guess, and he died as a complication because of that. But, he lived a really, really good long life, and he was a major, major character on two big sitcoms. You had WKRP in Cincinnati, and of course, we had Head of the Class, right, Jeff?
Yeah. And don't forget about movies. Spinal Tap.
Well, yeah, he's in tons of movies. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spinal Tap, memorable characters in Spinal Tap and Private Lessons.
Yeah.
Which most people don't watch for Howard Hessman. If you were 13 or 14 when that came out, you weren't watching it for Howard Hessman. You're like, oh, wow, there's Johnny Fever. Jeff and I met him at Dragon Con a number of years ago, maybe 10 years ago. I don't remember exactly when. He and Lonnie Anderson were there, and they were the kings and queens of Dragon. What do they call that? The
Grand Marshal or whatever. Yeah,
Grand Marshals of Dragon Con. And I, in fact, told him that, you know, you were probably kind of responsible for me getting into the radio or wanting to be in radio. And he went, I'm sorry.
Every time before we start the show, you grab that microphone and shake it back and forth and yell booger into it.
Booger. WKRP, you know, I already liked radio when that came on. And, you know, to think about, we've talked about it numerous times on Radio Labyrinth, how WKRP is influenced and sort of based on a radio station in Atlanta that's no longer around. It was called Quixie, top 40 AM station, and, you know, the turkeys and all that. But that character was modeled on a guy named Skinny Bobby Harper. And so you can find all that information on the internet if you're interested in finding out about it. But it was a sad thing. We've lost so many people already this year. And we were texting with Steph. Remember Steph? And she said this year is going to be like a cascade of people we grew up with are going to die. And, you know, they're all in their 70s and 80s, you know. So, and then we'll be the old people.
Yay.
Yay.
We're already the old people. Speaking of old people, I am tired because I'm an old person. But last night I went to my first indoor concert, and I can't tell you how long. I think the last indoor concert I went to was Sturgill Simpson, and that was in 2020, early on in the pandemic. But I went to Atlanta Symphony Hall with Dr. Joe Esposito, who is the chiropractor that's on WSB Radio. And he does podcasts, and he's a cool guy. I went to see 10,000 Maniacs with him a couple of years ago too. He's a huge fan.
Did he give you an adjustment?
No adjustments at the show. But tomorrow, you know, he'll be at the radio station, so I'll have him give me one there. But no, he's a big fan of the Alan Parsons Project. So he said, "Hey, I got an extra ticket to the Alan Parsons Project. You want to go see the Alan Parsons Project?" I can't do this voice so good.
How did Alan Parsons look?
Alan Parsons looked like the Orson Welles of rock and roll. And I mean that in a complimentary way. I'm not trying to take a dig at him. I mean, he's an older person and he's tall and he's got that Orson Welles thing going, you know, the gut. But anyway, it doesn't matter. He doesn't move very fast, but he had such a good band. And I didn't drink anything. I didn't eat edibles. I didn't smoke anything. I just went, you know, my mouth was dry during one song. I went out and got a Coke because most of the songs I didn't know. Let's face it, he was a radio hit guy for most people. And then there were a lot of people who dug the music. He produced Dark Side of the Moon. He produced a lot of albums. He worked on, you know, Let It Be at Abbey Road. He's in that
Beatles documentary.
Yeah, being like a young man.
Yeah.
But the artists were, I mean, the musicians were fantastic. I really, really, they really brought those songs to life. And he really commanded the stage. I thought it was a lot of fun. And
no eye in the sky, though. Pure balls.
No, he played that.
I know. I'm just doing that David Spade bit.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, God. Could you imagine if he didn't do that? Dr. Joe was telling me that he saw the Monkees there a few months ago. This is before Mike Nesmith died. And I said, how was the show? And he goes, they only played two or three songs that you knew. The rest of them were all from like newer albums. That's pure balls.
Yeah.
To go on tour as the Monkees and play in front of all the people that are as old as you are. And
no daydream believer, pure balls.
Yeah. Stuff like that. I said that when we were walking, I go, everybody in here has a comorbidity. Glad they're checking your status. I had my card on my phone, and which I don't mind. I felt a little safer in that, you know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It was a great show. The song
Invincible now that you had it.
Not invincible. You can still get it. We're not talking about it. This isn't the Joe Rogan podcast. We don't have any. We don't have officially licensed experts. Official licensed experts to talk about it. And if you don't have them on your show, then you get dinged. Ding, ding, ding. You don't want to get dinged.
Yeah. I'm still going to keep smoking my horse dewormer.
That's the best way to get it to work is to smoke it. You cut it. You squirt it out of the tube into like a tin can. Not a tin can, like a cookie sheet, right? And you put it in a real low setting in your oven until it turns to dust, and then you roll it into a joint, smoke it.
Yeah.
You're set, man. You are fucking set. That's
did you poop on any shrubs on your way home?
No, in fact, I didn't eat anything yesterday because of that very reason. And I didn't eat anything. I on the way in, I was a little nervous because I don't really like going out. And Caitlin was like, "You got it. You don't back out. You always back out. Don't back out. Go. You're going to go. You're going to go. Quit being a weirdo." And she was right. I had a great time, but getting there was a slog, and I had to pull into the Publix and take a, I had to go to the bathroom. You know, make gross. But I ended up going, and I feel really good. It gave me a boost of confidence to get me through the weekend.
Right.
So that's good. So what do you want to talk about this week? Again, stick around because our conversation with Jeff Richards was a lot of fun, and he does some impressions for us. And you guys, I think if you've never heard of him, you've heard of him. But if you're not familiar with him, he's going to make you laugh, and you're going to go watch the YouTube channel.
But what are you watching?
Watching here.
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
What are you watching?
A couple of big shows that we all like are returning this week. Tonight, as we record, the new South Park is premiering. The new season starts tonight, and also Raised by Wolves returns for its second season on HBO. And that was a really cool show that came out of nowhere in 2020, and it was a good pandemic show. So now we're back to season two, and we're going to check that out. Everybody watch Book of Boba Fett?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad that Boba Fett made a cameo.
He at least had a line in this one.
I really enjoyed the episode, but man, Jedis are dicks.
You know who else had a line? W. Earl Brown.
He had a couple lines. Now, do we know, is spoiler alert, by the way, is Timothy Oliphant dead?
I hope not.
That character?
I don't think he is. It caught him really high in the shoulder. So.
Yeah, they made a point of showing that it didn't look like it was a critical.
Yeah, they were tending a wound. Yeah. So, yeah.
That couldn't have been more of a Western.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot out them looking out the windows like they're looking out of a saloon.
Didn't you want Sean Bridgers to be the deputy though?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah.
That would have been perfect.
That would have. The CGI Luke, there were moments when it looked beautiful. There were moments when it looked shitty. Well, when he was talking, some of the times he was talking, the teeth were too white.
Now notice too that it looks so much better than season two, the finale of Mandalorian season two. But also remember that they hired the deepfake guy that did all the YouTube videos, and now they're applying his deepfake strategy to Luke, and that's why it looks so fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely
looked a lot better than the first time.
Although there were some times, like I told my wife when we were watching it, I said, did they get Mr. Beast to play Luke? Because that's exactly who he looked like.
Yeah.
My issue with this episode, though, is he took the ship. He made this chainmail. The Mandalorian, which, by the way, isn't Boba Fett. The Mandalorian, Din, made a nice little chainmail mail jacket or armor for Grogu.
A little onesie.
A little onesie. Flies all the fucking way to whatever planet that is. That's not it. Is it Endor?
Yeah, it's the moon of Endor. Yeah.
Is it the moon of Endor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there was a time you could hear Ewoks, the little chirp. It was there in the background when they were training. Yeah.
Boy, if the Empire were ever to rebuild, that'd be the last place they would look.
With the remnants of everything hanging over the top. Big hunks of the Death Star stuck in a lake somewhere.
Yeah. So Din, he makes this chainmail armor, a little onesie for Grogu, flies all the way. I'm assuming the planet isn't like, right next door to Tatooine. Flies all the way there. It has to wait, sleeps while these robot ants these droid ants are building a temple. R2-D2, you know, fucking ghosts him and acts like a dick. And then Akosa is there. And she's all, you know, being fucking bitchy Jedi. This is why I don't like that these Jedi are like dicks, man.
And well, that's why he's going to choose the armor and quit that whole Jedi business.
You think? Well, because look, you're bearing the lead here. Now, you know, you're giving the lead. What I'm saying is that, you know, Grogu, Luke's doing all this, you know, Obi or Yoda shit with Grogu and making him run and do flips and stuff. And he says, I'm going to give you this lightsaber or you can have this chainmail. But if you take the chainmail, you can't be a Jedi. Why can't he have something personal? Is that because his dad was such a douchebag and emotional?
It's the Jedi way of foregoing everything else in your mind. And if he chooses the chainmail, that means that he's going to keep Mando or in his mind more, and he won't be able to give everything to the Jedi, you know, give himself over to the Jedi, because that's kind of like their priesthood. So it's kind of like giving everything up in right. order to train and do it. And if he's got that, if he picks that, that is the decision to, you know, that he's not going to be able to separate the two.
I don't know.
It's a dick move. I mean,
it's a total dick move, especially since everybody who watched Mandalorian wanted to see that. Just even if it's just a little, hey, oh, you know, I miss you, Grogu. Here's your chainmail.
Yeah. Bye.
I don't know.
Yoda's, and that was another thing. The Yoda lightsaber, that they retconned that because in the comics it got destroyed.
Comics or in the movie?
In the comics, and it was just gone in the movies. But when in the comics, actually, there was one Sith guy that was destroying lightsabers for their crystals.
The crystal, yeah,
yeah. And it was the last one that he destroyed. And when he broke it, it actually broke the machine that broke all the other ones. So it was like, you know, real powerful. But I'm glad they kept it in. But yeah, it was kind of weird.
Who's Cad Bane?
He's the reason Boba Fett has that dent in his helmet.
Yeah, he's a mercenary that's more powerful than Boba Fett. He's the best in the galaxy, and you know he's got those tubes that come in to his neck, and what it's for is he had it surgically put in so that no Jedi could force choke him, and it would still be able to breathe. Plus, he can breathe in space with it too.
So he got the drop on Timothy Oliphant there. And they just walked away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's the one that's leading all the shit that's going on Tatooine.
So he's working for the Pikes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's hired muscle for the Pikes.
Oh, he's hired muscle. Okay. Well, I think that the show is good. I was going to give up on it, but boy, they really brought in the big guns to make sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think I wondered if that was, you know, if we're getting to, you know, the first two episodes of season three of Mando and we don't know it yet.
I mean, I do like mechanic women who fuck Jawas. But they're not going to show it. Let's move the story along a little faster.
Don't you want them to choose the armor though, so we can go back and be on Mandalorian?
I want him to choose the armor, and then also take the lightsaber, so he can
can't do both.
I want him to take the lightsaber, and then when the battle comes and he gets hit and they figure out, you know, they do a Lord of the Rings and figure out why he didn't get damaged, it shows that he's wearing it anyway, that he stole it. That's what I wanted.
He would have to use his little force powers to take it out of Luke's pocket.
Yeah, and as easily as he got that frog almost all the way to his mouth, that might be an easy thing to do.
I'm about to look at Grogu's face when Luke raised all the frogs out of the pond.
Yeah. And
Grogu looked over and was like, holy shit.
It's a buffet.
Well, all in all, it was a good episode. Peacemaker was good this week. And the ending of it was something you didn't want to miss. That litany of names that Peacemaker was reading, really, really, really funny. The first episode of Resident Alien, I think we all watched. That was really good.
Yep.
That's such a great show. Again, I apologize that I sat on it, but I'm watching it every week in real time. Really like it. Fantastic show.
Yeah, I like how it's expanded out from the little story it was. It's a much bigger story now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still breaking the story really slow, though. None of this whole alien invasion shit's going to happen this season, I bet.
Yeah.
Or be at the very end.
They'll drag it out.
Yeah. I like it that he took the octopus out of the tank and ran away.
That was hilarious when he was running out of the restaurant with it.
Yeah. And then the other show that I think that all of us are watching, I'm not caught up on the Netflix show that I liked, but Caitlin and I are going to get caught up over the weekend. Mm. I think
Archive 81.
Yeah. I mean, it was so good, but let's talk about it more after I've seen a bunch. Sure. Plus, but Righteous Gemstones doing that,
the flashback episode.
Yeah. The flashback episode was really good. You know, and I forgot that, what's her name from Sugarland is the matriarch of the Gemstone family. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And she was in Soul Miner's Daughter, and she's super, super famous. And she's from around these parts, right? Right. Jennifer Nettles.
Yeah.
And she's really good in that role. And they did do the de-aging thing on John Goodman, which didn't look.
Yeah. Weird. Those kids, though, that were playing them as kids were great.
Yeah, they were.
Especially the little Danny McBride kid.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. And M. Emmett Walsh. When do you see M. Emmett Walsh these days?
We're going hunting, Eli. We're going hunting, Eli.
Funny, funny show. So those are the ones you recommend. Again, South Park season 7000, and then Raised by Wolves season 2 starts this week. Let's see, just a couple of quick bits in the news. Tom Brady finally retiring and leaving the football world for good, meaning that somebody else will have a chance. Even though he didn't win this year, it's nice to see him go away.
I like how he announced it and then realized that if he waited 4 days, he'd be able to collect that money. So he just didn't officially announce it until today.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah. He was, if he would go past the 1st of February or something like that. Yeah. He got something in his contract. It was like like $50 million or something. And then, but he went ahead prematurely and said he was going to do it. And then like 6 hours later, he retcons and was like, no, I'm almost sure that I'm going to do it. And then of course he did once the,
he'll be back though on TV or coaching for sure.
Yeah. I figured he'd be a commentator. That seems like something he'd jump on.
Let's see, other football news. The Super Bowl is in 2 weeks, and that'll be the Rams. We all know this. That'll be the Rams versus the Bengals. So good luck to whatever team you like. I don't really care.
You picked that. Well, you picked that a couple weeks ago.
I did.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing that.
Yeah, you picked them.
Great. I'm smart. last bit of football news: the Washington Skins. Then the football team of Washington, D.C., they finally have a new name and a mascot. They're the Washington Commanders. And Dustin gave me a great idea this morning to draw a Cobra Commander in a uniform. And that was funny. So I like that. Thank you, Dustin.
No problem. Funny.
And I find, you know, the less polarizing my doodles are, the better they do on social media. So I, you know, doing the one I did of Howard Hessman, a lot of people like that. What was the other one I did that people liked? Oh, I did Neil Young, which I, you know, we're not going to really dive into that whole topic, but I will say this about that, that Spotify paid too much money for Joe Rogan. I don't see them getting rid of him. And a lot of this has more to do with people saving face in certain areas. The two things that strike me the most about this is that you look at how many views every single episode of Joe Rogan gets. It's 11 to 12 million downloads, views, whatever. None of the news companies combined, all of their shows reach that.
Yeah.
None of them. Not Fox News, not CNN, not MSNBC. And when they say that he's spreading misinformation and he's irresponsible, they don't say what it is that he is saying, which is nothing, because Joe Rogan doesn't say anything. He has guests on and he asks questions and he doesn't challenge them, because Joe Rogan isn't a virologist and he isn't a doctor. He's just a guy that has these people on. And he also has had people that are against all of that, you know? And so my thing with these artists like Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and these older artists, Graham Nash and Crosby, Stills and Nash, bands like that, is they have shitty deals with Spotify. They have better deals with Amazon or Apple, right? Because it used to be when they first started doing MP3s after Napster, it was Apple that put it all together. And there was a business model that you download and you pay 99 cents or $1.23 or whatever it was. And then the artist got a bit of the money like the old days. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, you can play a song 10 million times or a million times on Spotify and they're going to get like $3, $30 or whatever. So I don't begrudge them that, because for the last 2+ years, all of these artists who depend on touring to make money, not their music licensing, touring to make money, haven't been able to tour. Right.
Yep.
So I have no problem with that, but I just say, be honest about it. Like Sharon Stone saying, I'm taking my podcast. Who gives a fuck about your podcast? Or that horrific Mary Trump, who sadly looks just like her uncle, hates her uncle, whatever. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff, but she announces, I'm taking my podcast down. Well, how many people listen to that shit? 20? Who the fuck would pay a dime to listen to Donald Trump's niece complain about Donald Trump? I don't know why you would, unless you really hate Trump that much. So my point is that I like that these artists are leaving Spotify because they never got a good deal on there.
Speaking of paying a dime, www.patreon.com/Tim Andrews.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's just my point. These, like, Neil Young isn't getting any touring money, and that's how he made money. He sold his catalog recently. Bob Dylan, who is on the road now, just sold his catalog. You know, that's their retirement. That's their nest egg, even though Dylan's 81 years old. You know, there's people that are depending on that. So my point is don't get all wrapped up in it. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. If you're a fan of Rogan and you're mad that celebrities are using that as an excuse to get a better deal so they can make money, realize what it's really going on. And that it really has less to do with the pandemic and more to do with the shitty business deals that their managers get them. And
thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Bush. Thanks, Ford. Let's pick someone that nobody cares. Thanks, Ford. Who?
I think it's given like you said, everyone an opportunity to opt out of Spotify. And that's it, because it's never been. I mean, I've seen numbers on, like, you know, St. Paul and the Broken Bones. You know, they're on Spotify. They have millions, you know, of listens, and I've seen what those millions of listens equate to in money, and it's laughable. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's almost, you know, the envelope costs more.
Radio pays more because radio has to pay ASCAP fees, and these streaming services do not. Yep. So what? You're going to run the risk of your shit being pirated, but everybody has that risk. And 9 times out of 10, if somebody pirates your album, they're going to go out and buy it because they'll get a better version.
Quality will be better.
Right. And, you know, plus these artists can put out LPs and special limited edition CDs, things that people can hold in their hand. I would much rather have a record that I could hold in my hand and make a mixtape, you know, on a CD or whatever. And, you know, I don't know. I want them to make more money. So, ooh, my wife just texted me a good app recipe. Salmon patties with arugula salad. I started learning how to cook because I didn't want Evan to think that everything came out of a drive-thru. Evan's my first son from my first wife, Pam. This contains 498 calories. I called Jean and I said, can I get some 8-ounce canned salmon? Well, that's 240 calories and half an egg. Large, 2 cups of leafy greens, arugula, raw, 1/4 cup of cheese, Parmesan grated. So that's really what we're going to have for dinner this weekend. And by the way, we're going to have a new Patreon feature, which is why I'm doing Paul. We'll talk about it at the end of the show.
How do you get half an egg?
Well, you boil it.
Okay. And then cut it in half.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the one who wrote the recipe. I was just reading it. I do have a delightful recipe for Brussels sprouts.
You only used half an egg, so for that reason, we have to chop you.
All right, so there's one story here I don't know anything about. Billy Summers is being produced by
J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, what's Billy Summers? And
the latest Stephen King book.
Okay.
It's about a hitman, or he's a hitman. That's a Iraqi war vet sniper. So it's very similar to the storyline or the plot line of Barry. It's his last thing. He wants to do his last job and get out of the business. And it's a long, you know, it's a long, long game for the last one. He's got to be there for months building up a cover. And it's a great, it's a great book. I mean, the book's amazing. And, you know, J.J. Abrams and his Bad Robot production company, they did Castle Rock, which was, you know, two seasons of that, which was really good, I thought. And then they also, they did one movie too, Dr. Sleep.
Castle Rock was a great show, I thought. This one was Sissy Spacek, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it had, yeah, it, Spacek was in it, and it was kind of an amalgam of Stephen King plot ideas and,
mm-hmm.
you know, very, very Dark Tower-ish. And then the second season was pretty much the story of Annie from Misery.
Annie Wilkes.
Yeah.
Annie Wilkes. All right. So, well, that's pretty much all we got. South Park is going to start soon.
I'm the only one that did a stack pick. It's just that Ben and Jerry's dirt cake ice cream.
Uh-huh.
It's vanilla pudding ice cream with chocolate sandwich cookies and chocolate cookie swirls, topped with milk chocolate ganache and cookie crumbles. It's so fucking good.
God, it's like somebody, like Mr. Keebler took a shit in a bucket.
Exactly.
Is there any room for the ice cream with all the stuff in it?
No doubt.
It's one of those topped, so the cookie crumbles and stuff are on top, and then they're swirls and stuff. So freaking good.
I still haven't found any of that Little Debbie
it's
ice
only,
cream.
It's only at Walmart.
Is it Walmart?
Yeah.
That going to my Walmart.
And I've seen a bunch of reviews on TikTok. Everybody's just saying the Nutty Buddy one's the only good one.
Nutty Buddy?
Yeah, Nutty Buddy ice cream.
Oh, why'd you tell me that?
Walmart.
Nutty Buddy is great.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
Snooze. All right, let's do
views or snooze. Number one, Winter Olympics.
Snooze.
Yeah, it's a snooze for me too. I used to like the Winter Olympics over the Summer Olympics, but I don't even care anymore.
I just don't want a half-assed Winter Olympics. You know, they're just trying to get through it just because they spent so much money and put it off so long, and
yeah.
It would, yeah, no thanks.
So three snoozes. Number one or number two, Celebrity Big Brother on CBS.
That's a snooze for me.
Snooze.
I don't watch the regular Big Brother, but I like the celebrity one.
It depends on who the celebrities are. Who the
I don't know. I don't know who the celebrities are yet.
I know
people from reality shows. I don't know. Then fuck no.
There's one guy from SNL, the one that did Night at the Roxbury with Will Ferrell.
Chris Kattan.
He's one of them. I remember seeing that on the
poor fella.
And he looks rough.
I like him. There are a lot of people I don't like that guy for some reason. Oh, I don't like Chris Kattan, blah, blah, blah. He did some funny bits, sketches on Saturday Night Live and characters and stuff. I don't hate Mango. Mango, yeah. But I mean, that show, or I don't know. No. That guy deserves better.
I'm going to views it probably just because I like Celebrity Big Brother.
Okay.
And number three is Reacher. You can abuse it.
I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try that first episode. I never saw the movie or read the
fucking
book.
Fucking good.
You like
so the good.
Episode. Let's tell everybody we got to watch it.
I watched three of them.
Well, we got to watch the. We got to a preview. We got a preview of it because we were gonna interview the guy playing Jack Reacher. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that guy was the lead in Blood Drive. If you've been listening to our show for a long time, you know that we all love Blood Drive.
Yeah.
And we interviewed the director, and this guy was the main guy. What's his name? Jeff Chris?
Alan Richardson.
Chris. Alan Richardson. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And he was on Titans. He was Hawk on Titans.
We were going to have the ability to talk to him. He was going to be in Atlanta, but I think that got changed. I saw him on, I think it was Kelly and the other guy.
New Year's Rockin' Eve guy.
Ryan Seacrest. Name. Why are we so? This is what happens when you get old, kids. Don't do Tylenol.
I recommend Reacher highly. I haven't. They gave us access to all eight episodes.
Yeah,
and I probably would have watched all of them if we would get actually gone through with the interview.
Mm-hmm.
I only watched three, and they're so fucking good.
Well, good. Now, are they all being dumped at once? Or
I don't know. It's Amazon, so it's hit or miss. They could dump them all at once, or they could do it weekly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to views that. Dustin, what are you going to do?
I'll give it a views. I'd like to see Reacher more like the character in the books than Tom Cruise was, because, you know, Reacher is supposed to be this big guy, you know.
That was the thing about the Tom Cruise movies. Yeah. It was written well. It was written like Reacher, where he's talking about, like, I'm going to kick all you guys, like these five guys, I'm going to kick all your asses. And it's like Tom Cruise, little fucking four foot nine Tom Cruise.
Doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah, it doesn't have the effect. When you look at Alan Richardson and you see these five guys that are like maybe almost as big as him, but not, you understand why he's saying, don't even bother trying to fight me, you know?
Yeah, but I'll give it a views for sure.
It's definitely worth watching.
So Jeff has an idea to do a $3 Patreon level or a new benefit for the $5 level. Every month, we draw one name from the list of people who come on the podcast and request an impression from Tim live on the show. Yeah, let's figure that out. And
just like a new level between the dollar level and the $5 level.
Maybe
10 or 15 people sign up for that. Then we draw a name out of that list, and that person gets to come on the show and request a impression from you.
Quick draw.
We need to do that. We need to do something like that. So to all the people who've stuck with us for so long, thank you very much. And I think we do. I need to read. We need to update it. So we'll plan on doing that the next couple of weeks. But thanks to everybody for sticking with us. And if you'd like to become a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. So without any further ado, let's go to our guest who was kind enough to do the show with us. From California, and do some of his great impressions. Stick around for Jeff Richards. And then you're talking about your show that night and doing your Dustin Hoffman, which, by the way, is the best Dustin Hoffman I think I've ever heard anyone do ever.
Don't talk to me like that. There was a long hallway. I don't know where I was going. So thank you very much. Thank you.
So welcome to the show. Jeff Richards, you are an actor, comedian. You have a podcast. I like to watch it on YouTube because it's amazing. You do the impressions and you interview people. And I just got obsessed one night, and that's when I reached out and asked you, come on.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a fun show. I came out of, you know, the pandemic, you know, not being able to interview people in person. And then once we started it and you're two camera, you could do the deep fake. So it just kind of, you know, the show is basically I'm never there and I get a guest host to fill in, and that's the impression. And
have you seen that guy doing that deep fake Tom Cruise?
Evan Ferrante. He did Tom Cruise, and I did Hoffman once on the show.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is worth watching the entire thing. Yeah. I mean, do what you do and then watch it. And that's awesome. But yeah, you could spend literally, if you're a dork like me for impressions or I can't ever get it right, impersonations or impressions, you could spend a good day and a half and not even be done
with these videos. Yeah, we got a bunch of them out. We were doing them once a week, and then that was just hard to keep up with. So once every 2 weeks, now we're about once every 2 or 3 weeks. I got one coming out with Kevin Farley. I'm doing Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
Nice.
Yeah, the most recent one is Jimmy Fallon with Kevin, right?
Yeah, just the Jimmy Fallon, right?
Yeah.
With who was it? I don't even remember. I did one with Charles Fleischer.
There's one. The most recent one I'm seeing is Kevin. Your tribute, your Bob Saget, which you did as Jimmy Fallon, is also up, which is great. And Willem Dafoe with Gary Kroger. Now, Yeah, Gary Kroger. I hadn't heard from him or seen him in anything in a long time, so it was nice to watch that. He was a Dick Ebersol era Saturday Night Live cast member, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was there right in the middle of everything. Yeah, he was a real nice guy. And we, you know, doing like the Willem Dafoe, I just sort of modeled the American Psycho movie,
mm-hmm.
When he's the detective. So I'm just interrogating. You know, it's like, so where did you go to school? And he's like, you know, I'm just like, so just listen, I just have some preliminary questions for my files. Okay, is that okay? Okay.
So you're Gen X, you're right in the same wheelhouse that we are. So I'm assuming you kind of grew up watching the same things we watched and had a lot of the same influences. But who were the people that influenced you when you were young, like you couldn't wait to see? Were you into Rich Little, Fred Travellina, guys like that?
Kids in the Hall was a huge, huge one for me. I loved that. Loved how silly they'd get and weird. And Letterman was a big one. Eddie Murphy, Eddie Murphy was a great influence. Jim Carrey, a lot of those guys. Dana Carvey was the one where I kind of was like, I kind of saw how he kind of, to me, I kind of thought I saw how he kind of would do one impression. Mm-hmm. Like he would get inside someone, he could do it perfect, but he chose to just wiggle around in it and just make it exaggerated in just this just innocent sort of silly way. So I try to do that. I try to say things as they would say them, but then make it a little weird or different, or you know, like I'm doing Letterman tomorrow with Steph Barkley. and I just think I just want to get distracted, not even go to the questions. You would hope at some point, I don't know when, I don't know how. Have you had the burrito supreme? it's just layered just right.
Yeah, and I guess I dated myself a little bit, or my parents were terrible, plopping me down in front of the TV, because I started watching TV at 4 or 5 years old. So we're talking about 74, 75. When I would stay up on Saturday nights to watch, Bill Murray. I remember I was allowed to stay up because Carrie Fisher was the host and she came out as Princess Leia. So I've kind of been obsessed with that show for a long time. I know Jeff, that's our co-host, Jeff and Dustin. Jeff and I grew up in the same town. I had the same obsessions, and watching all those shows. So it's just always curious to me if we're on that same, watching TV all the time and mimicking our teachers. And
yeah, that's exactly what I did. That's how I made friends. I was just talking to somebody. That's how I literally made my first friends in junior high school, was making fun of one of the teachers and, our teacher, Mr. Sang. And you'd do it for one kid. They bring another kid over, and then now you're doing it for, make your friends that way. Nope. kind of weird and funny.
We made a teacher cry. He had these big pepperoni nipples and he never wore a t-shirt, and so I would do the voice and then we would talk about his pepperoni nipples, and it wasn't, I mean, looking back now, 30 years ago it was very sad, or 35 years ago. But
wait a minute, he had his shirt off in class?
No, he wore a white button-up shirt. He didn't wear an undershirt, and he would sweat, and you could just see his humongous nipples poking through his shirt.
What wouldn't happen in today's world.
No. Well, it wouldn't happen. You wouldn't make fun. You'd get in trouble for making fun of the teacher if you did that. Back then, you didn't get in trouble for making fun of the teacher.
It's just, it's obscene in a way that's, you can't put your finger on, right?
Yeah. And you wouldn't want to put your finger anywhere near it.
No, you wouldn't.
I was curious how you first decided you wanted to become a performer or a comedian. And then from there, how did you get on Mad TV?
So I think it's what we just was talking about, doing impressions for friends. And that's kind of what led to, Letterman was an early one that I did. So I think when I thought I could do those impressions, then I knew Saturday Night Live. So I think around that time, around like 13, 14, I thought, well, maybe I could do that someday. And then Mad TV came about because I got at a showcase at the Improv on Melrose. And I did like 5 minutes it was like a Mad TV stand-up showcase. And I just, I did okay. And then I got a call and auditioned for that.
Nice.
For a while.
And then you're the first person ever to go from Mad TV to Saturday Night Live. Did they make you audition for Saturday Night Live, or did they just offer you a role in the cast?
I auditioned. I basically just had 2 weeks to go out there and do about 5 minutes.
And it was just for Lauren? Or
it was for like a few people. It was like, the Steve Higgins and Paula Pell and all those guys from early 2000s, Tina Fey. And just kind of ran through them, you know, wasn't really looking for laughs. You know, I had worked the Comedy Store late night, you know, right before that for a couple of years. And I was going up, they'd put me up like last, and I just got used to just doing it for nobody. Right. So there was like eight people there. I was like, that's fine. That's more than I'm used to. And just ran through them all and got up and left. I don't even think they said, I don't remember. I think I just got up and left. And then Lauren stopped me and said, good job. And so I thought, okay, that's good.
Yeah. That's not a job offer though.
It's not, but it's enough. You know, I always thought too, like, I just want to audition for Saturday Night Live. I just want to have a chance to audition. That was more of the goal than anything else. So when I finished the audition, I was pretty excited that I just was able to get through it. You know,
was anybody else auditioning the same time you were?
Yeah. Dean Edwards. I think Amy Poehler and Seth Meyers.
Wow.
I don't know if it's on that day actually.
Right.
But I know Dean was there. I remember meeting Dean.
Now, of your time on Saturday Night Live, you know, the hosts that you had to deal with, you know, week in, week out, were there some that were you remember being, you know, more favorite than others?
I loved Queen Latifah. They were all great, really. No one had an attitude at all that I noticed, but I wasn't really like, you know, driving like several sketches a night either. So, but the, you know, the interactions I did have, everyone was very sweet and just happy to be there and excited, you know.
How did you develop your Bill O'Reilly?
Well, they asked me if I could maybe try to learn that one or give it a shot. And I just got the VHS tape and played them and kind of had a take on it pretty quick, and that was it. Just some of them come quicker than others.
Yeah,
I thought I just kind of had that one early on, and then that was it. That was a Jim Downey sketch, so I was like, well, I know that's gonna get in because it's Jim Downey, you know. But so that was a thrilling one to do live too, because it was driving the whole thing, you know.
And, yeah.
You know, you don't want to make any mistakes. It's exhilarating. It's exhilarating being on that show. Yeah.
Another person that really isn't easy to do with Bill O'Reilly because of the pacing and the accent, and it's just a tough one to do. And I thought you also did a very fine Rush Limbaugh. Another one that was tough to do, especially since over the years his voice changed.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. Do you remember that? You know, you can't find that anymore. Do you remember seeing that clip?
Yeah.
Can you find it still? Is it out there?
I think I just watched it.
No way. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's really like, they wouldn't have gotten away with that material now.
No.
Caution, you're about to enter no spin zone. In fact, it begins in 30 seconds.
Yes. That is available. You can watch that on Saturday Night Live, has it on their page. But the Rush Limbaugh one is, I swear to God, I thought I just watched it. But when he had that surgery, when I did him on the radio, I would just shake paper. And I can't do him anymore because he's dead and I'm on the old affiliate, so they don't let me do it. But
and I was trying to do like Alex Jones, which is kind of like just Rush Limbaugh on steroids a little bit.
Does he hurt your voice to do him?
Facebook!
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you want to get rid of Facebook? There are people on the moon taking alien milk from pilgrims. Facebook.
You know,
that's a hard one to do, like in a 5-minute sketch, to maintain that voice.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to do Rogan. I've been watching a lot of Rogan. He's not easy to do. I don't know where to even start.
Tim, give him a little of your Rogan.
My Rogan sucks. It's just, wow. And then you try to do it, and you got a little of this going on, but there's not enough, so you got to back up.
It's sort of this, yeah, it's like he's got almost a frog thing going, but it doesn't go there exactly. Like, all right.
Yeah. Wow, that's
all right. Let's talk about this thing, dude. Okay, because I really think that you guys can think about this a different way, because they want to talk about prescription medication, but they don't want to, you know. Okay, come on, dude. Yeah. I don't know. It's a little
off. Really good. You got the cadence down really yes. well.
Yes, you're a weird dude. You're a weird dude.
Yeah,
kind of a weird dude. It's like a middle. It's somewhere between dude and bro. There's an ocean breeze to it, but at the same time, you know, there's no ocean.
I was gonna say, the longer he stays in Texas, it's gonna change a little bit too.
Yeah.
Okay, dude. You don't even know that for a fact, dude. Okay. I want to try to get it accurate. I don't want to just come up with some, you know, wild take. You know, I don't know. I'd like to get there. We'll see.
And I'm listening to Paul Stanley's audiobook to try to get him down a little bit better, instead of just doing like an effeminate New York accent, and he enunciates everything.
And that's great.
And he has a lot of this. You know, Peter Criss really couldn't play the drums. He was terrible.
And he does that sort of like, you know, he's like, you know, he's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's almost like on a puppet string. Like, that's a good one to do, because people do Gene Simmons, but they don't do Paul Stanley.
No, and everybody doing Gene Simmons does the what's his name? Craig Gass, who does the really
good
Gene Simmons, and a lot of other ones.
He's great.
So, what else are you working on during the pandemic besides your podcast? Are you going back out? Are you doing stand up again?
Yeah, I just did a gig in Maryland, and out there doing some stand up. I came up with this album. It's like I do this music character called Ditto Kiddo. So I, you know, he put out an album.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just funny songs, like a disco, EDM kind of Pet Shop Boys kind of songs.
Okay.
And, what else? That's pretty much it. I'm trying to just write a new hour with, you know, impressions I do, I'm not going to get, you know, I'm going to do all the impressions I do, but write, you know, new bits and come up with a new hour. So that's something I'm actively working on.
Right. Who's your favorite one to do when you're interviewing people? The easiest one and the one
I like to do on. Jimmy Fallon, like, because it's a newer one.
Yeah.
You know, that's the coolest thing in the world, you know?
Yeah.
How you doing, man? Hey, man, how you doing, man? I found a paperclip yesterday, you know what I mean? You know what a paperclip is? You know, like a twisty piece of metal, you know? It's like, I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, no way, you know? It's the coolest thing. I love your beard, man. Look at your beard. That's so cool. You got a beard, you know? It's like little hairs on your face. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my whole life, you know what I mean?
You do it for him? Have you done it for him?
No.
No? I wonder, how do you think he'd react?
Can't get close enough.
No?
He's an impressionist too, so he'd understand.
Yeah.
No, I can't get physically close enough to him. Oh.
Have you ever done an impression to a mark?
Louis Anderson, speaking of rest in peace.
Yeah.
He was like, you guys ready to play that feud? You know? So I went down to the feud. And he's like, why don't you open for me at the feud? Just open the show. Just do a few minutes. You can do me. Go up and do me, and then have some Coca-Cola. And so I was like, you guys ready to play that feud, up to the crowd, you know? And just nothing, just silence. And then I go back to the dressing room, I'm having a Diet Coke with him, and he's like, you know, you could have went longer. You just have to keep going.
But that game show crowd's not there for stand-up.
Well, they don't, you know, it's like, if people think you're like taking down their idol, they don't like it, you know?
Right.
They're like, who's this guy making fun of our idol, you know? So you got to be careful to do it in a real, homage kind of a way, which I thought I was doing, but there's still some, you have some angle on an impression always, you know? So you have like a feeling about it, how you're doing it almost. So
when it came to doing Trump, I just played it like he was more absurd than he really was. And that, to me, I got more laughs from. And again, this is on radio, so only I'm talking about people in the studio. But playing like I hated him or that he was an evil monster or whatever. It's just playing him like he's a complete fool and an idiot. And I haven't really been able to master doing Joe Biden, but I'd kind of do the same with thing, just play him doddering and making stuff up and yelling. But if you find that one thing that you can do, and then you can live in the character a little bit better, I think that helps.
Yeah, and it's kind of ones that are tough too because they're so polarizing. You know, people have such strong feelings about political people, you know, and celebrities aren't quite the same, but they do have feelings about whether they like that. You know, it's like some impressions can be really accurate, but they don't, if they don't give a shit about the person, then you're not getting anywhere with it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I thought Fred Schneider told me once, he goes, "I'm not a hillbilly." Are you going to retire Louis Anderson impression? Obviously you just did it, so maybe not, but in your
No, definitely not, because he told me to keep doing it. I know it sounds like I'm making that up, but he really did. He's like, he said, keep doing it, keep going. He's like, keep doing me, as if to say, you know, don't stop doing me. So that's how I took it.
Yeah.
But I'm doing a call-in on my friend Brendan Walsh's podcast as Louis. So basically I'll do it, and I'm not going to be mean or anything. I'll just have some funny little, you know, what he's doing in hot, what he's up to in heaven. And it's fun. I like it. They got lots of shrimp. It's unlimited shrimp, fried or not fried. Cholesterol doesn't matter. So you just keep going. I definitely keep doing them. Yeah.
Well, if people want to find you on social media, where can they look for you?
Well, I'd rather they just didn't, to be honest with you.
Okay, I understand.
The Jeff Richards on Instagram, and all the same, and all the handles, and then Linktree / Jeff Richards is you can find the show that way. Or thanks for having me, you guys.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate it. We love what you do, and again, I'm going to tell everybody again, you go to the YouTube page, prepare to spend quite a while watching these videos because they're fascinating, especially with the deep fake.
By the way, Scott Welch is the one doing the deep fakes, and Jason Auer and Andy Hoglund, those are all the guys involved. So
nice.
You used to do Instagram lives with the not deep fake necessarily, but yeah, like a filter of a celebrity,
I would do the filter that beard on. The Snapchat, or we used to have a filter for, you could put pictures on your face. They don't have it anymore, but I think Snap Camera has it now. But this is better, you know, when it comes out, you know.
Yeah.
Before you go, can you leave us with a little Gene Wilder?
There's no way of knowing where my finger's going. That's just a joke. It's not really what I think you are. Come with me, and you'll see a whole world of rising inflation. Good, fine, on we go.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff Richards.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much, man. And,
all right, buddy.
Look for the show. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye, man.
Thank you.
Oh, and keep it canon.
Canon.